Log Talk Radio.
And I like the fact that Marvin Sapp said, I thank you for all of it, for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You got to be thankful for all of it. Standing tall. I thank you for all of it, the good, bad, and the ugly. Brothers and sisters, we're at a point in life where we have to be thankful to God for everything. I thank God for it. Matter of fact, the scripture says, in everything, give thanks. But this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So I thank him. We have a little audio difficult today, but hey, we going on in the name of Jesus. Trust and believe. Hallelujah. I thank God, first of all, for his word, because it's in his word that we learn that who we are, that we are children of God, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, 1 Peter 1:23. I thank him for forgiving us of all of our sin and washing us in his precious blood. I thank him because he has washed us that we become new creatures, new creation, and that we are the temple, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not? What, you don't know this? You don't know you are the temple of God? Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from the power of darkness and translating me into your kingdom. Thank you for it. Praise you for it. Redeeming us. I thank you, Father God, that because of those reasons, we are more than conquerors. Thank you, Father God, for the things that we've asked you for this week, and you come through like a champ. I thank you for it. Praise you for it. Thank you, Father God, for the spiritual enlightenment that we're getting through the word of God. I thank you, Father God, for knowing that per the scripture, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter 2:9-10. I thank you, Father God, that the enemy, that we do have an enemy, and his name is Satan. He can get behind us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, we've been talking this week about trust in God. And that was something we wanted to kind of clear up. We hadn't had a real chance to do that. So maybe today would be a good time to just go ahead on and clear that up. That was over in 1 John. We're in 1 John 4. And we talked about, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Those are God's spirit. And every spirit that confess that not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the Antichrist, whereof heard that it should have gone, and even now already is in the world. So we had put some emphasis on a lot about trying the spirit by the spirit, see if it be of God. We talked a little bit about really beloved, what that word really means when he said beloved, believe not every spirit. In other words, don't be acting on every spirit that sounds good, you know, that people would think, oh man, this got to be God. Try that spirit. See if it's spirit of God. And let me say this too, because there's a lot of spirits that spirits of God, but they're not necessarily doing God's work. Well, those spirits are called the spirit of error. And trust me, brothers and sisters, you have a lot of people who's operating in the spirit of error. And because they're operating in the spirit of error, it doesn't make it right. It doesn't necessarily mean they need to stay in that spirit of error. So we talked about the seven ways to test a false spirit. Number one, their confession of Jesus is very important. That's in verse 2 and 3.
And then go back and read it again. So you can see in verse 2 and 3 it says, hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confessed that Jesus Christ in is come in the flesh is of God. So that's number one. If a preacher, whoever, is not confessing that Christ came in the flesh, you want to get as far away from that because you know they are not of God. Period. And I'm going to say that, period. Is not of God. Also, in the, they're not of God. That means I was going to come in on some other stuff, but I just want to get past the seven tests so everybody will be on the same page with the test you call. Because, see, you have to determine if they're a spirit of God. That's on you. So if you don't test it, then whatever the outcome, you have to deal with it. Because do not believe every spirit, but he says test the spirit. Means that we should believe everything we hear just because someone says it or as a messenger inspired of God. There are many ways to test teachers to see if their message is true, truly from God. One is to check to see their words match with the word of God in the Bible. So that means that would be second. See if their words are matching with the words of God. See if their relationship with the world, what that is. Remember, the fifth verse says, they are of the world. Therefore, speak them of the world, and the world heareth them. See, when somebody is of the world, you'll know it. You will know it, because they're going to talk worldly stuff. Now, if you're part of that world, then you're going to stay there. But when you decide to search out, you're not trying to believe every preacher because they got a big church, because it's their church, because it's not Christ's church, but because they have a big church or because they're popular in the community. I like what, I think that was verse 5, and then over there in 2:15, let me go and read that. Because in 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, that's how you can test, brothers and sisters. If a person is really loving the things of the world, but if you are not, if you're part of that world, you won't see that. You won't see that. Because you, as far as you're concerned, everything you're doing is right. Everything you are hearing is right stuff. And it don't necessarily have to be right. So when he says over there in, to, well, you know what, I'll read the 17th. He said, and I start back over with 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the Father's love is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the world, the will of God, abide forever. That's John 2:15 and 16. So you can't love the world and love the word at the same time. See, a fountain can't bring forth sweet and bitter water at the same time. You're going to either love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. You can't do both of them. I know there are those that think you can. No, you have to let it all go, man, and find it. You got to find this place. I like what he said over there in the book of James, the fourth chapter and fourth verse. Ye adulteress and adulteress, who yet not that the friendship of the world is an enemy with God. So whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is an enemy against God. Wow. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwell in us lusted to envy? I mean, that's real, brothers and sisters. I know everybody ain't ready for that. We all are growing. I'm the first to admit I'm still growing. But I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters. It's real. It's real. You can't have them both. You're going to love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. Also, verse 6 says, so this is the third way. This is number 3. Those that are keeping count. This is number 3. How they receive Christian energy. So when I read verse 6, it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God, he is not up. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You got to come to that place, man, where you recognize that there is a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. And if you've been in error to truth, you can just repent. It's that simple. It requires you to change and go the other way. That simple. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That simple. That would be number 3. Is to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, a lot of times people been in error and they don't want to admit, man, I was doing it wrong. I was being taught wrong. I was leading people wrong. That's another reason I had to come out to organized church. Because I got tired of leading people wrong. I got tired of leading people in error. In error. Tired of it. That's why I hurt for people now when I see them in error. Number 4. About their attitude toward the commandment of God. See, that's why verse 6 says, we are of God. He knoweth God, he is up. He that is not of God, he is not up. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So number 4 says, you got to pretty much know you had the right attitude. I like what chapter 3 and verse 20 through 24 said. Let me read that. In chapter 3 and verse 20 and 20, I just read through 22 and 24. It says, but if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. 22nd verse. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we kept his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of Jesus, Son of God, Son Jesus, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We'll read down through the 24th verse, and it says, "And he that keepeth the commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that we abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." See, so it's important knowing what spirit you're working with. It's very important, brother and sister, to understand that, okay? Another scripture comes to mind is John 14 and 15. And this just on the fourth one, fourth way you can set these false prophets. Want to just make sure we clean it all up today. And that in John 14 and verses 15. John 14, y'all bear along with me here. John 14, I guess it's going to show pop up here in a minute. In John 14, there we go. Yeah. 14, 15. You know, I just take authority over this stuff in the name of Jesus, and it will pay attention. It will obey. We shall. We prayed about this already. Yeah. Remember, he said, and these are ways you can test to see what truth you're dealing with. The fourth one, John 15, well, Acts 14, 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's another way of testing false prophets. If they're going to love him, they'll keep his word, no matter what. And you have love for the brethren. In 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another. The love is of God. And everyone that is born of God and knoweth God, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love." And he's talking about the God kind of love, not the human love, not the kind of love that's been tossed to and fro, none of that stuff. But he's talking about the love of God, the God kind of love. And now I'm going to really get into that because I want to try to go through this review. So he says, "In this was manifest the love of God." This is verse 9. "And this was manifest the love of God, because that we sent his only begotten Son in the world that he might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God is so love us, we are also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. He in us, because he have given us of his Spirit." He said, when you're trying the Spirit by the Spirit to see if it be of God, it is, to me, it is real plain, brothers and sisters. That's what you do. You get a chance to read 1 John 4, 7 through 21. 7 through 21, if you get a chance, read it out and see that this is how you can tell it's a false prophet. You can care about God's stuff and not man's stuff. Care about the God kind of love and not the man kind of love. John 13:34-35, because I was sharing this with some people on yesterday. So just, you don't know nothing about this kind of love. You know why? Because it was new. People weren't even teaching. They weren't even teaching this kind of love. But God wants us to love like this. Yeah. So when you read, all right, let me go here, 13 and 34-35. Man have yet to teach this in this mature state. In other words, this is who you are as a Christian, or who God calling you to be. Even though we're little children, we shall seek after him. Remember, he says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. And by this here, see, this is one of the ways you determine, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another. So when we love like Christ, this is the new commandment. Whew, man, that's we way behind. Because he was preaching this stuff 2,000 years ago, and man still don't want to teach it, that we have to love like God loves. And I'm not talking about somebody who's giving you money, or somebody who's been there for you, somebody who got your back. I ain't talking about them people. I ain't talking about family members. I mean, it should be easy for you to love your own kind, even if they're the worst of kind. Because, you know, people say your relatives is worst of all. Well, praise God. You got to love them, okay? Got to love them. Got to love them the way Christ loves. See, that's what we're challenged with, brothers and sisters, is to love like he loved. Those are the things that we're challenged with, that we have to love like he loved. And by this, all men shall know that you are my disciples. You know why? Because you have love like he have loved. When you love like this, that's one of the tests. Number six says the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, verses 4 and verse 6. This would be first John verses 4, verses 6. Well, you know what? I think I'm going to read 4 through 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they themselves of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. But he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's two spirits here. There's the spirit of truth, and there's the spirit of error. Easy to operate in the spirit of error, because you're thinking, I want you to hear this, you're thinking everything you've been taught has been right. Well, alert. Alert. Warning. A lot of stuff we heard was not true. And I don't want to admit it, but I have to. I have to tell the truth. A lot of stuff. See, that's what God loved. God loved truth. And he don't care if it's your truth or whoever's truth. And then because he have the truth, which is truth over all truth. So, you had to be honest and truthful and say, yeah, Lord, I was in error. See, that's the spirit of error. And error is not a bad thing. Now, I know some of y'all want, where is this man coming from? But error is not a bad thing, because it's the errors of your ways that teach you that, hey, there's a different way. There's a better way. See, so when you're operating in the spirit of error, you have the right to put it in reverse. It's sort of like you're going down the road and you realize you're in error. You're going the wrong way. You ain't doing nothing bad. You're just going the wrong way. That's error. So what you do, you stop, put it in reverse, and you go back the right way. So the spirit of error is good. If you have family members, you have a loved one, if you have come to know that, hey, they're in error, you tell them, I love you. You just was in error. It's not bad. That means you got a right to change that now. You got a right to do something about that. Now, because somebody's in error, you don't want them to stay in error. I remember a while back, years ago, my children's mama was trying to teach me to dance, this one kind of dance. And for some reason, I wasn't getting it. So she told me, I said, well, I just can't do nothing right. It's all wrong, all wrong. She said, no, don't say it's wrong. You was in error. That's all. And you know, that made me feel a little bit better to know that, hey, I was in error. Wasn't my fault, I'm just in error. Sometimes people take a GPS. You end up somewhere you weren't supposed to end up. I know the first thing that come to mind, I was wrong. You could have been in error. They could have changed the map. The GPS could have misfunctioned, malfunction. Yeah. So you're in error. It is not as worse as saying, I did wrong, because you didn't go to do wrong. You was in error. I'll give you another illustration. I remember one time I was wiring up a house, and I wired it up. I was sincere about wiring it up. Put all the wires where I thought they should go. Best of my knowledge, I was operating according to the code. And then I hit the switch and the light didn't come on. Well, I went back and traced what I had did, and I realized I had to change some wires around. Well, was I sincere? Absolutely. Was I sincerely wrong? You better believe it. But I didn't see it as being wrong. I error. Yeah. I mean, it was not my intention. Now, when it's your intention, that's when it's wrong. But when you are operating and something happens, wasn't your intention, you probably said something to someone, wasn't your intention. So you was in error. That's hard to get across to some people, but there are times that we be in error. You raise your voice. You didn't deliberately do it. You were just talking and explaining. Boom. Or you know what? Your voice got elevated to another level. You wasn't trying to hurt nobody intentionally, but you was in error. You was in error. So sometimes people can be in error. But that's the good side of being in error is that, hey, you can put that thing in reverse and go back the other way. So when you try in the spirit and you're not sure if that's God's spirit, pause. Take a minute. Test it out. See if it's of God. Maybe it's confessing the things of God. But there's some flaw there. That means that you're in error. so you can change that. It's time to do something about it when you're in error. Yeah. You didn't purposely go. I went to the hospital. I didn't purposely go the wrong way, but I realized I was in error. So the time was against me. I turned around and came back. Any other time, I would have just found another route. A lot of time, road closed. All kinds of things. That don't mean you're wrong. You're in error. See? So there are spirits sometimes we take on, and they're not of God. It's called the spirit of error. And that's the thing that you're going to have to do your research. But there's a spirit of error, meaning you didn't purposely do it wrong. You realize what you did, you was in error. It wasn't what it should have been. It wasn't what it's supposed to have been. You was in error, man. Come on now. You're in error. But you can change it. See, when you just flat out wrong, you're going to do it, and you know better, that's when you're wrong. But there's sometimes you're in error. So there's a spirit of error. And that's all I was trying to explain to you when he talks about the spirit of error in that sixth verse. We are of God. He that knoweth God, he is us. He that is not of God, he is not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You want to know the spirit of truth. You want to operate in the spirit of truth at all times. But if something you said or did or operate, listen, brother and sister, it's called the spirit of error. Let me see if that's a better way I can explain it, because I don't want nobody to be misunderstood either. Because false teachers are people with worldly desires, worldly purpose. They're false because they're trying to teach an Old Testament in a New Testament society. And they're telling people what they want to hear. That's when you know you're wrong. You're not in error. You're telling them what they want to hear, usually for some duckies or for some money. So John warned that the Christian who harmful by this kind of stuff is people who are in the world teaching worldly stuff. They're just wrong. But people who does it, and they don't do it to hurt people, they're in error. And please hear me, brothers and sisters. Teach God's word will not win any popularity contest. I'll tell you that right now, okay? Especially in the world. People don't want to really hear the truth. I mean, I could probably put it a different way, but they just don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to listen to what God's word have charged us with. They ain't trying to hear it. They want to hear their own stuff. That's what they have a desire for, a taste for. Not for the truth. They have a taste for a truth. Certain sounds. You'd be surprised. There are people, they are appeased when they hear certain sounds, or the mood is a certain way, and they're happy with that. They're content with that. And it's not God, but they're content with it. And as long as they can do that and hear that, they're happy with it. Has nothing to do with God. But we have to denounce certain things in this ministry. In your ministry, you're doing what the Word of God said. There are certain things you must denounce in regard. Now, let me try to hit the seventh one. You can tell the false prophets by the Word of God. Verse 6, also chapter 5, verse 10. Chapter 5, 10 reads like this. He that believeth on the Son of God have the witness of himself. He that believeth not God have made him a liar, because he have believed not that the record that God gave us in his Son. In other words, they haven't believed the accurate things that God has declared and decreed that's in his Son. Like, for instance, a lot of people just don't believe Jesus took away sin. They still got a sin problem. Instead of having a righteous problem and receiving God's righteousness and confessing that, they'd rather live with the fact that they're sinners. Because, I mean, of course, that's what they've heard all their life, too. Just like you and I. You heard that garbage, but that don't make it true. And with some people, it makes it more believable. See, when you're comfortable with something, it's easy to believe. It's harder to believe things that's outside your comfort zone. It becomes a challenge for us to try to believe something outside of what we've been bombarded with all our lives, that we've been pressured with, we've been hammered with. That's all we know. See? So there come a time in this life where you have to come to a place and say, well, you know, I want truth. And when you want truth, you deal with it. And you realize that, you know what? John 5 and 10 said, he that believeth on the Son of God have the witness in himself. He that believeth not God have made him a liar. Well, how do you know if you believe it? Are you acting on it? Are you acting like you're saved? Are you acting like God has forgiven you of your sins? Are you still wrestling with that? Are you still seeing conscience rather than righteous conscience? I said this to somebody young yesterday. The Jews, here's what they did. They didn't have no problem believing the word of God. Hey, they went and got their sacrifice, took it to the priest, gave it to the high priest, and boom, they gave him the seal. You good. And they'd go and they'd be gone for a year, and they'll come back the next year, because they knew that year they were covered. That's what a covenant is. They were covered. No matter what they did, they were covered. Now, I'm not trying to get nobody no license to sin. God forbid. But brothers and sisters, know that if you're in Christ, you're covered. You are covered. I don't care what the devil says. You're covered. Christ's blood is stronger than the lies Satan has spewed out of his mouth. God's word is stronger than the thing that Satan has spewed out. So you have to start believing in that. And that's pretty much, I could say some other things, but I did want to get to one part of that review for this week. Let me say this, too, because in 2 Timothy 3:16, you have to study the Word of God. You have to study so you'll know that Satan is the god of this world.
And then you'll know that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So if a person is in the world and think worthy, act worthy, talk worthy, you need to see what worthy is. Because what you've been telling people worthy, it may not be that. See, that's where I was in error. I was telling people worthy is everybody that was outside of a church building or was not part of an organization. And I was wrong. I was in error. To myself, I was wrong. And God said, no, you was in error. Because I was teaching people that, man, if you wasn't in a church building, you were doomed. That's not true, brothers and sisters. I was in error. Should have been teaching them to be in Christ without a building or with the building. You have to be in Christ. That's what the truth of it is. See? And so that's if you don't want to be a false prophet. Now, if you want to be a false prophet, you know, if you want to be a false prophet, you know, you might want to, you'll keep on doing that. But if you don't want to be a false prophet, you want to change that. Trust me. You want to change that. And the other, this week, one other thing we talked about was over in Proverbs 3. 5 and 6, and John 10, 7, 9, and 10. So let's go to Proverbs. Here. Proverbs. Probably like most of you guys, just love to grab your proverb every day or some. It ain't nothing like grabbing your proverb every day. So when they get you a good proverb, meditate on that thing. It's truly, I know it brings wisdom, but it'll bring a delight to your heart as well if you're looking at it in the right spirit. But in Proverbs 3, I think they have verses 5 and verses 6. Let's see here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And, okay, got Pastor Tiff. She like to read it out of another version here. Good evening, Pastor. Would you like to read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 out of another version?
Yes, Pastor, and good afternoon. And yes, from the Message Bible, verses 5 and 6, it said, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Amen, amen. Praise God.
Yeah, trusting God, trusting the Lord with all your heart. It's easy to say, but it's a little difficult in doing. That's where everything, and that's what we talked about that this week.
Yeah.
That's what we start with everything.
Mm-hmm.
With what you pay your money, even with paying your bills, even with... going downtown, going to the store. When you trust in God with your whole heart, you know, we talked a little bit about what the word trust means. We probably won't get into it today, but I will say this, brothers and sisters. It's putting confidence. It's like, I know God can make sure I get the right, be in the right place at the right time. I mean, it's easy to say scriptures like, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, call according to him. But that sounds like that for everybody. That sounds like that for anybody to go to church. That sounds like that for anybody who believes in God. It's not.
It's for somebody who loves God's word enough to do it, to trust him, to rely on it, to depend on it. Your total dependence is on God.
Yeah, say that.
Your reliance on your future is on God.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it's getting deeper than that. If God don't show you which way to go, you just don't stay.
All right.
You can maybe go, my God ain't gave you an answer yet. I am not giving out no answer until I get an answer from God. That's when you know you're trusting him.
Say that.
I don't know if it was just yesterday or if I said it last week. But, brother, sister, let me tell you what. When they done turned up the furnace, you got to still trust God. Daniel 3, the God that we serve is able to deliver us. And if not, King, we want you to know we're not worried about no fire. We're not worried about how many times you turned it up. Matter of fact, we're not even worried about getting burned. We're not worried about the smoke going to bother us. We're not worried about it's going to mess up our eyesight. It's going to burn anything on our body. We ain't worried about that stuff.
Say that, Pastor. Say that.
If God is for us.
Yeah, hallelujah.
That's the attitude you got to have, brothers and sisters.
Mm.
If the God that we serve is able to deliver us, and if not, we still want you to know we ain't serving your God. I ain't serving him. I am not serving him.
Yeah.
Because the God that we serve is able to deliver us. See, that's where your trust has to be, brothers and sisters. And that's the kind of trust that you got to have.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, don't allow people to reduce your faith or try to impose something on your faith that you're not committed to.
Mm-hmm.
You entrusted God with your, you believe in him. Come hell, high water.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that next week. And we tried to get some other things clear. Anyone have anything they'd like to share? We got 5 more minutes, I guess, as long as we need, really. But if there's anything you like, this time I'd like to share, press 1. I thank God for Evangelist Denise. She has believed that she's sitting in there with us. Thank God for Pastor. Thank God for 3, 2, 6. I thank God for all you guys. I'm going to start calling names, but. Pastor, you have anything you'd like to share?
I just like to read that out of the New Living Translation, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 also. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Amen. And I know you have brought out about Daniel when they was in the fiery furnace. That just that you know, before they went in there, they was trusting God. They put they all in all in God and not in the king. And God delivered them. And just like God delivered them, he'll deliver us. So that's why it's so good to put our trust in the Lord. And I just love that because Pastor, you know, he just brings that out. And when we read it in the different translations, it just helps us too to understand and make it more clear with teaching. So I love that. And then with the Message Bible said, trust in the Lord from the bottom of your heart. You know, that's some powerful trust. And we can put our trust in the Lord no matter what we're looking at. But when we put our trust in God, know that God will bring us through. And we just got to wait on him. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on us. But we trust him. He's there for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Those that may want to find that, story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's in Daniel 3. Verses 16, 17, but read the whole thing. Read the whole third chapter of the book of Daniel, and you'll see it, the story there, how the day was. give them chance after chance, but they refuse to accept it. They stay on the word of God, what God had promised them. And I'm saying that to somebody today. That's what our trust needs to be in. Whatever scripture you got.
Stand, stand on it. Amen.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But we truly thank each and every one of you.